Good afternoon, everyone. When I was being called into the church, it was through the preaching of Mr. Armstrong and the Plain Truth magazine. Mr. Armstrong had a very positive and optimistic way of presenting God's way of life. So much so that I believed that once in the church, my problems would be over. Little did I know. Now, 45 years later, I'm still positive and optimistic about my calling, but with a more realistic understanding about trials. To be fair, Mr. Armstrong, on different occasions, quoted a scripture that relates to trials, which I would like to turn to. And we find this in Psalm 34. So I'd like us to turn there, Psalm 34. Having trials, challenges, and sometimes afflictions is part of God's plan and purpose for us. By these, we are strengthened. But importantly, God also has the power to bring a trial to an end and deliver us from whatever affliction we may be having. So Psalm 34 and verse 19. This is the one Mr. Armstrong used to quote. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. So the title of this message is God's Deliverance, and the purpose to show how we receive it. The title, God's Deliverance, the purpose to show how we receive it. So how do we receive deliverance from trials and afflictions? We will see the answer to that in a moment, but first notice that this scripture is telling us two things. First, God has the power to deliver us. Secondly, it is a promise God is making to the righteous. Let's take the first point and look at an example in the Old Testament. This is the story of the poor widow who lived during the time of Elisha and shows how she was delivered. 2 Kings chapter 4. I'd like us to go there. 2 Kings chapter 4. When her husband died, she inherited a substantial debt. And the creditor had come to take away her two sons as slaves. So she was in desperate straits. Verse 1. 2 Kings 4, verse 1. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor is coming to take away my two sons to be his slaves." This must be one of the worst trials that could come upon a woman. Verse 2. So Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil." This shows how poor this woman was. Then he said, "Go borrow vessels from everywhere from all your neighbors, empty vessels, do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons, and then pour it into all these vessels and set the full ones aside. So this is what she did. She borrowed many vessels, empty vessels, and began to pour out the oil that she had from one jar until the others became full. Verse 5. So she went from him, shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Verse 6. Now it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another vessel. So the oil ceased. So that is what she did. And through this miracle, God provided her deliverance in a wonderful way. Not only did she pay off the debt that was owing, but in addition, there was enough to live on for herself and her two sons. God provided for all her needs. God will sometimes allow a trial to come upon us where there is no way out, where there is no human answer, no human solution. So we have to turn to God for deliverance. But this works out for our good. As we put our problems in God's hands, and as we put ourselves in God's hands, in faith, trusting Him, we will witness the deliverance from God that we need, and our faith will be strengthened. That is what happened with the widow, and it is recorded as an example for us. The title of this message is God's Deliverance, and the purpose to show how we receive it. So how can we be delivered from trials and afflictions? Is there anything we have to do? Are there any conditions? In the first scripture we read, we saw two points. First, God has the power to deliver. Secondly, deliverance is a promise. There was, however, another important point. Who was God speaking to? Who does this promise apply to? Did we notice? Here is the scripture again. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. So we see here that God is speaking to the righteous. In the example of the widow, we read that she cried out to Elisha saying, your servant is dead, my husband, and you know that your servant feared the Lord. That tells us this woman was righteous, this man was righteous, and this was a righteous family. As we look upon the troubles of this world, we see many afflictions, anxieties, worries, and fears. But there is no deliverance because there is no righteousness. So we see the connection that doing what is right is a key point to being delivered. Importantly, the righteousness we need comes from God, not from ourselves. For example, when the widow collected empty vessels, it was God who filled them. We, brethren, are empty vessels spiritually until God fills us with his Spirit. And with his Spirit comes his righteousness. Many of our brethren in the world suffer deprivation, unable to meet basic needs. There is anxieties, worries, fears, but we are delivered from that if we are putting God first. So in closing, Matthew 6, let's read this promise spoken by Jesus Christ himself. Matthew 6. As God provided for the widow and delivered her, so he will do the same for us. Matthew 6, verse 32. For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. Now here comes the condition. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you.